You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is The Rob Carson Show. If you would like to call, the number is 800-922-6680. We have a lot of things to get to. I think the last hour was great. Caroline Leavitt, who's been in the courtroom with Donald Trump every day for the last couple of weeks, was on the show. If you want to hear the podcast of this show, it will be up soon thereafter, soon as we get off the air here at 2 o'clock Eastern. Just go to your usual podcast platforms and look up The Rob Carson Show. We take the entire show, we distill it into two segments, approximately 40 minutes each. And I think you'll enjoy it. And if you would subscribe, it would be really huge. We're trying to build those numbers. They're nice now. They need to be great because I think we're offering something that no one else in conservative talk radio does, not only a take, but also reclaiming mockery and ridicule and comedy from the left. And sometimes this stuff just kind of writes itself. Yesterday, Joe Biden was out and about, and he accused Donald Trump of lying, like Donald Trump is a liar. And I was up last night. I got up in the middle of the night. That's when I wrote the audio blog that I wrote read last hour, which was entitled "Get Your Asses to Your Classes" about these Nazi rallies on campus. And I was up last night, and I thought about the absurdity of Joe Biden saying something about lying, considering his entire life has been one. And the reason being is Joe Biden is a weasel politician. He has tried to make his life seem extraordinary, and it has not been. He tried to make his family seem extraordinary, and they are not. They are average at best, corrupt at most, and they really are. And this is a way that he makes himself sound more historic and more significant, and his achievements are better instead of just being what he is, a lifelong, 50-year, corrupt bureaucrat. That's all. That's Joe Biden. And his family are a bunch of scumbags. Pretty much. That's about it. But I'm going to play this. I came up with this last night. I'll start with the quote from Joe Biden yesterday and then a little montage that I put together.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
Sounds to most folks like a crisis.
Well, look, it's way down now. We've now gotten control.
Are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes.
Nelson Mandela walked out of prison and entered into discussions about apartheid. I had the great honor of meeting him. I had the great honor of being arrested with our UN ambassador on the streets of Soweto trying to get to see him on Robben Island.
The various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have it.
And wages for working families have gone up while inflation has come down 65%.
No one making less than $400,000 a year will pay a single additional penny in tax for all these things that were in the Build Back Better plan.
This president has a pattern at this point of either inventing or embellishing stories about his own past, his biography. He did it three times in one speech last month alone. He claimed he had witnessed a bridge collapse in Pittsburgh when he actually showed up about 6 hours later. He claimed that his grandfather had died just days before he was born himself at the same...
And his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
...hospital. In fact, his grandpa died more than a year before in a different state. And he also repeated a favorite false story that I and others have debunked over and over again about a supposed conversation with an Amtrak train conductor he was friends with, who was actually deceased at the time the conversation would have had to take place. Previously in his presidency, he claimed at one point he'd been arrested during a civil rights protest when, in other versions of the story, he just said an officer had taken him home from a protest. He said he had visited the Pittsburgh synagogue where worshippers were killed in a 2018 mass shooting. Sure, yeah. In fact, he'd actually spoken to the rabbi, but never went. He said that he used to drive a tractor trailer, used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Never happened. The White House later clarified he used to drive a school bus.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, you know, if the expression liar, liar, pants on fire were actually true, Joe Biden would have self-immolated a long time ago. Yeah. Dementia
Joe
said in New Guinea, they still remember quite vividly a taste of Bozy, a taste of Bozy so fine.
No thanks.
Bozy was their best meal yet, a flavor they will not forget. A taste of Bozy. They served Bozy with white wine. Uncle Bozy, dinner was he. Yes, it cost him an arm and a leg. It cost him an arm and a leg.
That is Jim Gossett. And by the way, he was all white meat, actually. All white meat. If you want to help out Jim Gossett on Patreon, go to Patreon, patreon.com, Jim Gossett Show, or Jim Gossett Comedy, I should say, and you can subscribe there, give him $5, $10, $20, whatever, a month, and every time he produces a parody like that, he'll send it to you. You'll have it that morning, all right? So you might want to help out a brother, Jim Gossett Comedy at Patreon. William in Baltimore wants to talk, and he's been holding a while, so I'm going to get right to him. William, welcome to the Rob Carson Show, bro. What's up?
What's up, brother? Thank you very much for letting me chime in with you. While I was listening to that reading,
yes,
and all, you should put all that writing you have and all that knowledge with yourself that you haven't put down yet to make a pop culture book of the culture of this year, you know?
Thank you. Well, you know what? You're talking about the piece that I wrote. I have been a little slow to the to getting these audio blogs on the radio because they're deeply personal. They take a lot of effort, and I wanted to make sure there was a right time to launch these audio blogs. I do have a Substack page, and if you look up Rob Carson Show, it's there, so you can read the piece that I wrote. I may repeat it later in the show. I also put another piece up there that I wrote a couple weeks ago called Mea Culpa, The Madness of King Joe, and that was kind of an encapsulation of all of that. And I am working on a book, by the way,
we're gonna hopefully
call it The Blog Father. And so we'll see what happens. But I hope you enjoyed that piece.
I really did enjoy it. I was thinking about this, man. You know, Page Publishing Company, independent.
Yeah.
Try that.
All right. I'll see what I can do, bro. I do want to.
One more question.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I really appreciate that, Rob. I know how smart and tight you are, and you keep a lot of things to the chest like a poker player. But I see the vision in what you were saying. Like when you were speaking that, I was thinking about a coffee shop or a library, right?
Yes.
As you're talking to a bunch of young people, you know, and families. And it resonated.
Well, very good, my brother. Well, we cannot let 1939 Germany happening in our country. We can't. And I'll tell you what, I will die fighting. I will die fighting for that. But actually, I'm going to make them die first. This nonsense ends right now. This cannot happen in our country. I'm done with it, bro. Done.
Sons of Liberty.
Amen, brother. All right, have a glorious day, man. I appreciate it. Just, again, go to my Substack. It's not subscription or anything. Just go, and you'll see it. It's called Get Your Asses to Your Classes. Then I wrote this extensive piece, and I wrote it for broadcast, so it's all caps. But it was a rundown of all of the things that this government has done, and I've got a bunch of requests for it. The reason I haven't read it again is because it's like a 12-minute read out loud. And so my voice is a little strained at times anyway, so I don't know, you know, what I can do about that. This case in New York, I want to talk a little bit about the absurdity of the coverage of this case in New York. I haven't watched it, and I'm not spending a lot of time on the case because I have a funny feeling it's going to be guilty. Donald Trump's going to be found guilty. The Democrats are going to dance around, you know, like cannibals around Uncle Bozy, and they're going to claim some sort of victory and all of that. So I haven't spent a lot of time on it. And I don't watch the coverage. I don't have time to waste my damn time on CNN or MSNBC. They're a joke. MSNBC and CNN are not journalistic endeavors at all. I mean, there's no semblance of journalism at all on MSNBC. It is merely a mouthpiece for the deep state. It literally is Pravda. It literally is Izvestia. It is the supposed Republicans on that that network, the people who supposedly are conservative on that work, there is no sunlight between their views and the views of Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid. They are uniform of thought, and I don't have time to mess with watching their shows. I play highlights on it so I can point out their absurdity. When this election is over and Donald Trump is the president again and we're able to turn this damned country around again, they will fade into irrelevance as they're doing right now. But even Jon Stewart last night made fun of the breathless coverage of a worthless case. And I've got the audio from that coming up. Your calls are welcome at 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
Here's to a record-setting president. Joe Biden setting record low approval ratings.
What the Democrats have put our nation through. It is a sad day.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Fifth Avenue.
They're now making their way across town along 57th Street. They just crossed Park Avenue making their...
I'm not sure if I have my audio working here. Let me ask Brian. Brian, can you hear my computer audio? I apologize. I'm sorry, what? Okay.
Fifth Avenue.
They're now making their way across town along 57th Street. They just crossed Park Avenue, making their way up towards Lexington Avenue.
He's heading down the FDR
to the Manhattan Courthouse on Chamber Street.
Arriving at this intersection of American history with defiance.
Arriving at the intersection of American history with defiance, the brilliant juxtaposing of the gravitas of the moment with simple traffic terms was... He arrived at the intersection of American history where he put a quarter in the parking meter of destiny.
There you go. That is Jon Stewart last night. You know, occasionally he makes a point. And he's pointing out the absurdity of the coverage of this trial of Donald Trump, the media breathlessly covering it like it's O.J., literally the drive to the courthouse, the motorcade, like it's O.J. in the white Bronco. It's stupid. You look stupid. You look like fools. Thus far, literally, every single attempt for the last 9 years to go after Donald Trump, every single attempt has done an embarrassing face plant. And this is it, man. This is it. This is their last dying gasp. And here is, John Stewart talking about how Jake Tapper literally interrupted an interview to talk about a picture of the first photo of Donald Trump in the courtroom.
Seriously, are we going to follow this guy to court every f***ing day? Are you trying to make this OJ? It's not a chase. He's commuting. So the media's first attempt, the very first attempt on the first day at self-control, failed. And I'm sorry to say that it...
I'm sorry, hold on. We're getting breaking news.
You know, he wanted to get a jury seated, so we had a lady.
Bill, I'm sorry to interrupt. Just for one second. I apologize. We're just showing the first image of Donald Trump from inside the courtroom. It's a still photograph that we're showing there. Just want to make sure our viewers know what they're looking at.
Yes, for our viewers who are just waking up from a 30-year coma. This is what Donald Trump has looked like every day for the past 30 years.
There you go. That's the idiocy. That's Jake Tapper, by the way. Unbelievable. And finally, this is hilarious. So they got a courtroom sketch artist in there, right? And there's a picture of Donald Trump that they drew, and his eyes looked kind of squinting, all right? And the anchor, I'm not sure if this is Nicole Wallace or whatever, but anyway, has literally the courtroom artist in to talk about the picture. Listen to the stupidity.
We have a photograph and we have eyewitness accounts. But do we have anything in a pastel?
A courtroom sketch that we're getting in right now. I'm looking at the courtroom sketch and Mr. Trump looks like he is glowering. I'm not sure if that's supposed to be a glower or just a glance. And I don't know how it's art. It's not necessarily, it's artistic journalism, but it's not a photograph.
Why are you showing it to us? It's a sketch. Why would anyone analyze a sketch like it was? It'd be like looking at the Last Supper and going, why do you think Jesus looks so sad here? Well, I guess we'll never know. Unless we could talk to the person who drew the sketch. Yes. But do we have the time? Nothing but.
Christine Cornelis, who's in the courtroom today, the official sketch artist. I want to show one of your sketches today. We're going through some of them, but this one, it appears in this one that his eyes are closed. What was happening here?
My apologies, ma'am. I was sitting 50 feet away. I was having such a struggle to try and get those eyeballs in.
There you go. That's the absurdity. The left always makes themselves look stupid because they are intellectually and morally bankrupt. And that's why I'm reclaiming mockery and ridicule on behalf of conservatives. Because honestly, the left is just, they're just too stupid and outrageous to be taken seriously anymore. Absolutely. Let's go to Mike in Greensboro, Maryland. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
What's on your mind today? How are you?
Good.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You know how they said because President Trump has to be in the courtroom every day, he might miss the high school graduation of Barron?
Yes.
Do you think that could be? Most people are in their 40s and 50s when their children graduate from high school.
Yes.
That if they're there taking a lot of pictures with Donald and Melania, with Barron in a cap and gown, it's going to give him a very youthful image as contrasted with President Biden shuffling around trying to figure out where he is.
Yeah. Well, this judge is just being a D word for Richard. That's why he's doing this. He is attempting to humiliate. This is an attempt to degrade the president. This is an attempt by the judge to take away a moment in a father and son's life because he has the ability to do it. This judge is a pathetic piece of crap of a man who literally lets a backup juror off for a scheduled dental appointment and won't let the president of the United States, the president of the United States, be with his 18-year-old son at his high school graduation. That's just, it just shows you how sick and depraved these people are. And you know, I got to tell you, evil never wins. This man is going to be, in this life or the life thereafter, he's going to be held accountable for this awful partisanship and this absolute abdication of his as his oath as a jurist. It's just pathetic. But, you know, we soldier on. I appreciate the phone call, bro. Any other thoughts?
No, not really. I'm just hoping in November we get good news.
All right, bro. Have a good one. Hang in there. You know, keep calm. Carry on. Keep calm. Carry on. That's what we need to do. We need to keep calm and carry on. Nicole Wallace. Let me see if I can find this piece. Nicole Wallace is now being the official translator again. I don't know if you knew this, but Nicole Wallace, she is literally, I call it talk blocking Donald Trump. And yesterday, if I can find it here before the break, I'm not sure if we will. Nicole Wallace literally is, instead of allowing Donald Trump, yeah, here she is. Instead of allowing Donald Trump to talk, she actually talks over him, decides what you can hear.
Detect just from being around. We're going to monitor this to see if he attacks jurors. We're going to monitor this for news. We're not going to listen to him live. We try not to do that on this show, but we are monitoring that. We promise you won't miss anything if it's news.
That is a classic Karen. All right, that is a classic Karen. That is the same woman who decided because of George Floyd's death that the Land O'Lakes Indian should go away, that the Washington Redskins should go away. She's like a bad parent at an R-rated movie in 1982, you know, covering your eyes and ears. That's Nicole Wallace, the ultimate Karen. Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. It is a Rob Carson Show. The number is 800-922-6680. The Wellness Company has a contagion kit that you can get because, you know, China provides us with a good deal of our prescription meds. A lot of our meds come from China. China effectively is our enemy. We know that the Chinese are plotting an attack on our infrastructure. We know that the Chinese created the COVID virus with the help of Anthony Fauci and others in our government. So maybe it's time to consider getting a contagion kit or an emergency medical kit from the Wellness Company. The contagion kit contains an assortment of life-saving meds, including ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. It also contains a guidebook to aid in the safe use of these life-saving meds. Zithro, by the way, is in there. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. Generic Tamiflu is in there as well. You don't have to worry about going to a pharmacy that may have closed because of, you know, Democrats have robbed them blind. The perfect emergency kit at the perfect price. Everyone should have this for peace of mind, according to Rebecca B., a customer of the Wellness Company. Melody H., this is absolutely great. I encourage everyone to buy one of these for emergencies. And from Rob C., Wellness Company is awesome. That's me. Yeah, that's me right there in the end there. I made that up, but the Wellness Company, they've got an emergency medical kit, travel kit, and now this latest kit, home contagion kit, plus instructions. My producer, Ken, literally had salmonella. He needed some emergency meds, and he got on his Zithro, knocked it out within a few hours. So it's just good to have. Go to twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson, you're going to save 10%. How does that sound? I think it sounds awesome. Wellness Company is amazing. Steve Bannon had Julie Kelly on the show today, and they're talking about a three-month battle involving Judge Aileen Cannon with Special Counsel Jack Smith. Because, as I have said, it's very clear that this classified document case has been commanded and controlled out of the White House. There were reports over a year ago that Joe Biden was involved in telling the FBI to raid Mar-a-Lago. They had no idea what they were looking for. They just knew the FBI had visited Mar-a-Lago 10 months earlier, said, oh, I see you have classified documents in your boxes of belongings that you were entitled to take when you left the presidency. Just keep it locked up. So what did they do? They went back to D.C., told Joe Biden. Joe Biden arranged a raid to find anything they could and cover up the fact that Joe Biden has had thousands of classic and top secret documents in 8 locations, including his garage. And the only reason he's not on trial for that is because the guy in charge, the special counsel in charge of the investigation, say he's too mentally infirmed to present himself before a jury. That's your president, Democrats. Good job. Yeah, yeah, I know. You guys are just kind of a, I'm not going to say it. You get it. You know. All right. But here's Julie Kelly talking about what she believes is the DOJ, the FBI, National Archives, CIA, all involved in creating this. And it sounds like it's about to come out.
It's been more than a 3-month battle with Judge Aileen Cannon, the Department of Justice, Special Counsel Jack Smith, and Trump's attorneys and co-defendants to unseal and make public documentation and records that signal and prove that Joe Biden's White House, his general counsel, and the Department of Justice, and the FBI, and the National Archives, and the intelligence community, among other agencies, were all in cahoots as early as May of 2021.
That's kind of weird, because the CIA and John Brennan were all in charge of creating the Russia collusion hoax, and Hillary Clinton paid for the Steele dossier. Yeah, I know. And John Brennan got the 51 intel agents to say, even though they knew Hunter Biden's laptop for real, he got them to sign onto a letter that said it was Russian disinformation. Yeah, yeah. It's like the government was involved in the 2020 election and rigged it.
To manufacture a documents, records-related investigation and prosecution of Donald Trump.
Yeah, all commanded and controlled out of the White House. Is this the country you want to live in? You think it's all cool and everything because, it's, you know, maybe if you hate Donald Trump, it's perfectly fine. But this is going to come back and bite you in the butt. It's going to come back and bite you in the bootay. Yes, the bootay. What are we going to talk about now? Joe Biden is accused of mocking Catholicism for making the sign of a cross during an abortion rally. I'm a Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I'm not a good Catholic. I don't attend Mass regularly. I am a Christian. I speak to God every day, every night at about 10:30 Central Standard Time. Join me if you will. I pray. I prayed my entire life, every single night. And Joe Biden, you know, his administration started on Easter with the ultimate affront to not only Catholicism, but Christianity. He declared the date of Easter to be Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, they knew years in advance the possibility that this could fall on Easter, and they did it on purpose. They declared on Easter morning, actually the Friday before, Transgender Day of Visibility, before they said Easter. They would have never done this during a Ramadan or any Muslim holiday. They wouldn't have. But they did it. They did it. This on the heels of this vendetta against Catholics because Roe v. Wade was gotten rid of, finally, returned to the states where it should be. We also discovered that all of those stories of coat hanger abortions and all of the women who would die in back alley abortions, all of that 50 years of caterwauling about that happening, hasn't happened because it was all a freaking lie. And the Democrats hate Donald Trump for that, and they really hate the Catholics. Ooh-wee, they hate the Catholics. Yeah, that's why the Biden DOJ is going after, and it was several field offices instructed to surveil, to look at Catholics who attend traditional Catholic Mass in Latin, which I haven't been to since I was a kid, little kid, you know. But for some reason, they decided, oh, yeah, yeah, they got to be the most extreme Catholics if they have a Mass in Latin. But, you know, we're used to this persecution. Jewish people in the audience, you're used to this persecution. We've been there. We've done that. And Joe Biden continues. He's not a Catholic. He's not even a Catholic. He says he goes to Catholic Mass. He's a poser. He's a poser from hell. So he did the sign of a cross doing an abortion rights event. That's an indignity. Okay, that's an intentional indignity, just as badly as the Trans Day of Visibility on Easter. And I'm not letting this crap go. I'm not letting this go, man. Even though I'm not the best Catholic, I got to tell you, as a Christian, even as a Jew, I'd be offended by that because Jesus was a Jew. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, he's a Jew. He's a Jew. The president made the four-point sign representing the cross during the campaign stop as he listened to Florida Democrat Party Chair Nikki Freed blast Governor Ron DeSantis' stance on abortion, gestational limits, as shown. It is unclear why Biden, a lifelong Catholic, would choose the moment to make the sign, but his gesture stunned Catholic Vote President Brian Birch, who accused him of mocking Catholicism. Well, our Pope does, by the way, just by being our Pope. I don't consider our Pope. Sorry. Nope, never have been. Biden's decision to make the sign of the cross in support of abortion extremism is a despicable charade that attempts to co-opt a sacred practice in support of a new abortion religion. His gesture openly mocks the Christian belief in the sanctity of life. There is no divine support for destroying the lives of innocent children. He should know better. He added that Biden's gesture suggests he is either terribly naive or senile or callously indifferent to the foundational beliefs of millions of Christians in America. Critics commenting on social media called the president's gesture horrible, disgusting, and grotesquely scandalous. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you, Donald Trump said that if you're Jewish and vote Democrat, you're a fool. I'll just say the same thing with Catholics. Honestly. Really? Honestly. You should know better. If going to that mass means anything to you, you should know better. Dear God in heaven. Bishop Joseph Strickland, who was removed in November as Bishop of Tyler, Texas, over a clash with Pope Francis, called the president's gesture vile. Absolutely vile. Pray for the soul of our president. He's a feeble old man. He needs to prepare to meet his maker, said Bishop Strickland on X. The Catholic Church teaches that abortion is intrinsically evil act and should be prohibited by law. There you go. Yeah, there you go. When I was up last night, another sleepless night thinking about the future of our country and girding myself for battle, not only on the air, but, you know, when I'm off the air to win in November, I was perusing. I did a couple of montages last night, and Joe Rogan is, I like Joe Rogan. I got to tell you, I've had a real come to Jesus on Joe Rogan in the last 2 years. He's an incredible deep thinker. He exposes his audience to things that that most aren't. He is a philosophical man. He delves deep on everything from time and space and creation. He's got a remarkable show. He really does. And I came up with this last night because even Joe Rogan, who otherwise a non-religious man, believes that we are in a battle of good and evil.
Why? Like, what is that?
What is it?
And why is it so obvious to a completely secular person like me?
He's talking about the direction of the country and this existential battle of good and evil that we're experiencing now.
All of a sudden. There's a reason for that. History is moving really, really fast. We're right in the middle of it.
I was having a conversation in the green room of the club the other night about this guy from Canada that's HIV positive, that's a trans woman, that's taking hormones so they can breastfeed their 9-month-old daughter.
Wow.
So a biological male is taking hormones and is now breastfeeding. And I said, if Satan was real, I would do that. Life. And unfortunately, a lot of very intelligent people, they dismiss all of the positive aspects of religion because they think that the stories are mere superstitious fairy tales, that, you know, they have no place in this modern world, and, you know, we're inherently good and your ethics are based on your old moral compass and we all have one, and that's not necessarily true. We need Jesus. I think for real. Like, if he came back now, it'd be great. Like, yeah. Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back
right now,
now's a good time.
Yeah, pretty soon. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now's a good time.
Absolutely. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Since May of 2020, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has tracked 111 incidents of vandalism against Catholic churches in 29 states, and the number continues to rise. Incidents include this arson fire that heavily damaged the 250-year-old San Gabriel Church in California.
Yeah, because the Democrat Party worships death more than they do God. They worship abortion at the altar of abortion, and they hate the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is so vehemently pro-life. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. And you know what? It doesn't stop there because, you know, right now, what's going on campuses? Well, yeah, we got our universities, these bastions of Marxism, atheistic Marxism, which, by the way, is what this anti-Catholicism is all about. Now they're going after the Jews. Yeah, they're going after the Jews. We haven't seen this kind of Jew hatred since Nazi Germany. Here's Tom Cotton.
Well, Sandra, I gather there were about 100 people arrested last night at NYU. It seems like there may need to be even more arrests today. These university presidents need to ask the mayor and the chief of police in New York to send in New York City's finest to arrest anyone who's breaking the law, who's squatting on private property when they've been told to disperse, who's harassing or intimidating Jewish students in a nascent pogrom, and demand that students actually do what they're supposed to do on campus, which is go to school. And by the way, any of these students who are foreigners here on visas should immediately have their visas revoked by the Biden administration and be promptly deported. They have no right to be here. They certainly have no right to be here spewing anti-Semitic and anti-Israel filth.
Yeah, it's almost like we're in a battle of good and evil or something. Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah, we're in a battle of good and evil. Yesterday on MSNBC, they actually had somebody on who isn't a complete tool. Scott Galloway talking about the double hate standard on campus. Listen to this.
That was peaceful protest, but I can tell you if I went into the NYU Square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night.
Oh, yeah.
And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard.
No kidding.
When it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about the exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have, and there's spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying is the harassment of Jewish students. So what is that? Why is there that double standard? Because of course you're right. You don't even have to say it out loud. If these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled.
Because the left hates the Jewish people for their success. The left hates it. They hate the Jewish people for their success, for their temerity, their tenacity throughout history. Radical Islam hates the Jews because the Jews kicked their asses a couple thousand years ago when they were enslaved. They can't stand it. They hate the Jews. They hate the Jews, that the Jews always come back. They stay strictly adherent to their faith, and they soldier on despite every hardship thrown their way. That's why they hate them. Oh, and this is kind of an interesting sneak peek as to who is doing this nonsense. I mentioned this is Soros-funded. This is there was an Iranian military agency that is involved in fomenting these anti-Israel protests around the country. It's the same as 2020, different names, same old thing. Here are a couple of them yesterday talking at Columbia, I believe, and NYU, not students.
I really hope this encampment continues, and I hope that more and more of your friends and loved ones show up to support, yeah. Sneak in like I did. Do whatever it takes to be here, and I hope this amazing action inspires more people, more university students at other universities to do exactly the same. This is
ooh, more people to expel.
It's our campus. I mean, I don't go here, but this is.
There is only one solution.
Antifada revolution.
Antifada revolution.
People all over the country are standing with you guys. Do not stop.
No, they're not.
Keep going. Any support you need from us, from the broader Palestine movement, from people across the world, let us know.
Yeah, it's all AstroTurf. I said it was from the very beginning. And I got to tell you, I am, for one, not going to allow 2020 to happen again this summer to our country. And this is a lunatic fringe movement, and these universities have to kill it. That's it. This is the line. This is the line in history that must be drawn. It must end here. We have to kick radical Islam's ass. You can be a Muslim, that's perfectly fine. But if you are supporting Hamas and what they did October the 7th, and you're willing to forget the second Holocaust in Israel, then you are on the wrong side of history, and I am going, I'm not your ally. Let's just put it that way. All right, let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. All right, so final hour of the show today, the abject corruption of California. $2 million toilets and $1 million homeless apartments. Google just fired another group of pro-Hamas protesters, and Democrats want to fine Thomas Massie for showing them waving Ukrainian flags in our House of Representatives. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show, and the number is 800-922-6680. I am going to be taking next week off. The reason being... I didn't want to subject you to another week of me broadcasting from another facility. I feel more comfortable in my house, in my studio that I built myself, and I just kind of wanted to get the hell out of just the house and off work for a week after 3 weeks of home improvement, living in our house during a renovation of the home. My wife, she wanted to redo the place. She was blessed with a gift from her mother who passed away, and so my wife said, you know, let's do something to this house. Let's do something to this house. And I'm going to tell you, we watch a lot of HGTV. Dear God in heaven, we watch HGTV every night. Like, what did we watch last night? We were watching Fixer to Fabulous. That's the Fixer to Fabulous and the Mars couple. The last name is Mars, and they have a place where the husband has a workshop. It's called the Mars Barn, which reminds me of the Mars Bar. It used to be a candy bar that I used to eat when I was a kid. And so, you know, she gets all these ideas and everything. And I learned, by the way, even it's my kitchen. I do all the cooking. And I'm going to eventually get to the point where I'll share a little bit more about that, because I'm very good at it, particularly barbecue, and I think it's a great way to connect with you guys, and I've spent a good share of my life becoming very good at it, and there's nothing better than breaking bread with someone, even if you disagree with them. You know, I like to say we disagree on politics, we won't disagree on ribs, unless you're a vegan, and if that's the case, you have an eating disorder. There you go, yeah. So, and even that, I've got a new neighbor, just moved in next door. She's a vegan, and I said, we'll have you over for dinner sometime, unless you're a vegan. And she goes, well, I'm a vegan. I said, all right, fine, whatever, freak. I'll figure something out. But the House has been a mess. As always, when I see the opportunity to meet people, I've gotten to know the guys on the crew. Two of them don't speak English at all, and I use the Google Translate to talk to them. And it's been really nice to get to know these guys. And the main guy, Alberto, he speaks English quite well, and he's proved my theory that the workers who don't speak English, they drive the truck. The guy who speaks English very well, he owns the truck. If I moved to Mexico, I'd want to speak Spanish. I would consider it an insult to Mexican people if I did not speak Spanish, and they get it. But these are some of the hardest working people I've ever known in my life. I've never had a problem with people coming across the southern border to work in this country and to eventually become citizens should they desire to learn the culture, to learn the language, because honestly, the only thing that holds us together as a country are our citizenry and language. They have to. That's why the left is trying to destroy it. But these guys, they bust their butts. I have done what they do. I grew up on a farm. If you would listen to my upbringing, you would swear that I was raised in the Depression. And I was raised in the 70s and the 80s, the same way as, the other Gen Xers you may know, Adam Sandler, David Spade, those guys, talk about growing up in the 70s, riding their bikes all day. My summers were spent working in fields, My summers were spent tending to animals and gardens and all of that stuff. So I've worked in fields. I've worked in construction crews. I've done it all. And when I see these men who come in and they bust their asses all day and they take a break to go for lunch and they come right back, there's no cursing. There's no bull crap. There's no sitting around doing cigarettes. They just get it done. And when it comes to those people coming to our country, I'm just, thrilled, and I really enjoy the camaraderie I've been able to have with them, even though we don't even speak the same language. Only I would be able to figure out how to talk someone's ear off without being able to speak their language. That's just how I roll. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. I got a couple calls here. I want to go to Don in Salinas, California. Rhymes with weenus, which is the skin on your elbow. Don, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, bro?
Hi. Well, Mr. Carson, I've got to put out this thing here.
What?
I just watched $95 billion
I know.
Go to defend other people's borders while our border's in a shambles, invaded by millions of untraceable people and untold numbers of opiates. And then to add insult to injury, the top Republican, McConnell, tells me that I'm living in a fantasy if I think we should clean our own damn house first before we tell other people how to clean theirs.
I know.
And my question for you is, in this mess, why should I vote in November? If I get Trump elected, and I really wish I want him to be our president, it'll be another 4 years of him fighting with the Uniparty, them surrender monkeys we have out there in Washington, D.C., pretending to be Republicans. I'm a voter and donor to the Republican Party, and I am completely disgusted, disheartened right now. I cannot believe my eyes.
Well, what are you going to do otherwise?
Otherwise?
What are you going to watch the
take a hacksaw and saw Washington, D.C. off and float it out to sea?
I swear to God. Brother, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. We are in the middle of a time in our history like we've never had before. Every day you are witnessing history. Every day that another a day in the courtroom for Donald Trump happens, you are witnessing history. Every day that we see these abuses and usurpations are historic. This president run by Donald Trump is historic. It is literally the last gasps of saving the country. And so I would venture to say, as cliched as it may have been years ago to say, what's the point in voting? I would say that I would vote absolutely vote for Donald Trump this election cycle. I do believe that we have seen an upheaval within the Republican Party like we've never seen before. We've seen the RNC literally leaving the Bush-Cheney wing of the Republican Party in its dust. I believe that if Donald Trump is elected, and I also believe we will win both houses, that there will be there has been a great awakening in this country like we've never seen before. You must admit this. You must admit this. We have seen an exposition of corruption that we never dreamed of before. So I would venture to say, as disparaged as you are, this election is more important than it has been in history, because your vote is a volley in a revolutionary battle. Go ahead.
Rob, okay. Look what happened with Johnson. I believed in him. I believed the BS that he spewed out to become Speaker of the House. And now look at it, what he did.
I know.
I can't believe it, Rob. There's no lower depth in hell that I wish he would go to for what he did. I mean, this is horrible. If you think that we can change this, I know Trump being president's one thing, but look at what he's got to deal with.
I know that.
4 years I was disgusted with him. Look what Ryan did to Trump during his first term. Please give me some hope that if Trump becomes president, that the Congress and Senate will snap too.
Can you imagine a presidential candidate who has suffered more slings and arrows to become the president, to be in the office of president, and to attempt to become in history? We owe it to him to vote for him. That's all I got to say.
Well, I will vote for Trump.
All right, bro. Here's what I'll tell you. Listen, I get it, dude. This is every day. It takes everything I have to look at the headlines of the day and make something edible out of a crap sandwich. I do. I get it. And I'm telling you, man, this is it. We are not going to live another 4 years under this crap. And if that means a convention of states, if that means, I don't know what it's going to mean, but we are not going to continue this trajectory. And you have to make up your mind whether you're going to be on the sideline or you're going to be engaged. You've got to keep your chin up. You've got to keep calm and carry on. And I'm going to do my level best to be a Paul Revere here. I'm going to do my level best every day to keep your morale high, because we cannot get down on this. We cannot throw up our hands, because this is the death of the country that we're facing. We are facing it more than any generation. We are facing an enemy from within, and that enemy must be defeated, and you have to be resolved to defeat it, okay? God bless you, bro, and hang on. I get it. Hang on, man. We can do this. We can do this together. Brothers, I'm telling you, homeboys, hillbillies, Hebrews, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, all of us are defeating this tiny cabal of radical leftists. We are better intellectually and physically armed than they will ever be. And they have tried this in places like the Soviet Union, which fell. They are doing this in China, which is a paper tiger. And they have never done this in a country with the First Amendment and the Second Amendment to back it up, and 250 years of history. And I am not going to cede the United States of America to another socialist hellhole as long as I'm alive. As long as I'm alive. And you cannot get discouraged about this. We have too much to fight for. And that man, Donald Trump, as much as you don't like, some of you don't like him, nobody has suffered financially, physically, mentally, legally like that man has to save this country, and we owe it to him to vote for him. There you go. I'm going to take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
This is J.D. Vance talking about the aid package to Ukraine that went forward and was approved despite the wishes of the American people.
There's another historical analogy that I think that's worth pointing out, and that is the historical analogy of the early 2000s. Now, in 2003, I was a high school senior, and I had a political position back then. I believed the propaganda of the George W. Bush administration that we needed to invade Iraq, that it was a war for freedom and democracy, that those who were appeasing Saddam Hussein were inviting a broader regional conflict. Does that sound familiar to anything that we're hearing today? It's the same exact talking points 20 years later with different names. But have we learned anything over the last 20 years? No, I don't think that we have. We have learned that if we beat our chest instead of engage in diplomacy, that it will somehow produce good outcomes. That is not true. We learned that if we talk incessantly about World War II, we can bully people and cause them to ignore their basic moral impulses and lead the country straight into catastrophic conflict.
Now, and I'm hearing this morning from war profiteers that this is good for American industry. Yeah, because, you know, they got to build those bombs in America and build those military equipment without thinking that 500,000 people have already lost their lives. You think those boys in Ukraine are any different than your kids? You think those boys in Russia are any different than your kids? You may think that they're evil because they're Russian and all that, but that's what it's going for. You really want that money being spent for that when we could have a peace agreement? Do you really want that? I mean, Israel's in an existential crisis. They got attacked by evil Hamas bastards who have been saying and crying for the elimination of Israel for decades. And I'm glad to fund their battle. I just got to tell you, I know. All I can do, you know, keep calm, carry on. There will be better days. We have to never give up. Now, we have to push them to seal our damned freaking border. You got your money. Congratulations. A bunch of oligarchs are going to be able to buy their yachts. Yippee skippy. Whatever. People are going to continue to die. Yay! Seal the freaking border. Unbelievable. Honestly. So done. So done with these people. The abuses and usurpations that we have endured make those of the founders pale by comparison. We never imagined the evil that could exist in our government. It's always been them. They, you know, the Russians, the Soviets, them, the communist Chinese, them, the Stasi, them, the brown shirts, them. Now we know that we have become them. And we cannot continue this. It has got to come to an end. And by God in heaven, I am on the side of America as founded. And I have never been more crystallized in my beliefs, and I hope you are too. And I believe you are as well. We've had enough. No time for debate. Just seal the border and save the damn country. And if you can't, get the hell out of the way so we can do it. Let's go to Michael in Baltimore real quick. Michael, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Rob. I had to do some serious research about the difference between Republican rhinos and Republican conservatives. I really didn't understand the difference, and
yes.
I did serious research and discovered Abraham Lincoln was the first real conservative Republican, and we haven't had a real conservative Republican all the way up to Ronald Reagan.
Right
after Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses Grant, Theodore Roosevelt. They started to lose the started to lose the conservative principles, because what I know is conservatives are about the people. Donald Trump is about the people. But the Ronalds are about the party.
Yes,
the Republican Party. That's all they're concerned about is what the party needs. But conservatives want to help the people.
Amen. And, and conservatives are colorblind, by the way. You know, when you look at the Civil War, the people who fought for the Union, they largely were poor. The country at the time was not as it is today. You couldn't just go to the grocery store, buy whatever you want. You couldn't just go to Whole Foods. A lot of the people who fought these battles lived in dirt floor shacks, and they did it for the freedom of other individuals. They did it. They got nothing out of it. They got no rich reward out of it. Many of them returned without limbs, without being able to make a living. Many widows lived in poverty the rest of their lives because it was more important to fight to preserve the Union and to free people than
Absolutely.
It was. Yeah, so, you know, we have faded away from that because we've become the richest country in the world, and people have moved to Washington, D.C. to enrich themselves because of it. And we've moved away from that.
Rob, what I'm really getting at is I am so amazed with the State of the Union address that Biden gave because the man is ill. The man is not fit. But what amazes me, and it should amaze you too, why are these Democrats in that Congress believing the lie? Now there has
because
to
they these, put party wait, first,
wait,
man.
Wait, wait,
go
to
ahead, real quick.
There has to be at least one Democrat that says this man is unfit. But
no.
That Democrat is pulling the party line. They're more interested in the party, not the people.
Now they march in lockstep, just like the goose-stepping brown shirts of history. They march in lockstep. The Democrat Party has sold its soul. The Democrat Party has moved on from you and me. They do not care. They do not have the interests of the people in mind. And I'm going to tell you also, many of those Republicans, the same damned thing. The whole wretched, miserable cabal. And we have to become ungovernable. We have to become, we cannot just be means of taxation and production. We've got to make it very clear to them that we aren't going to live under this anymore. You got your stinking Ukraine money. Now seal the damned border. And if that doesn't work, let's send about 1 million tractors and 1 million people to Washington, D.C., to camp out and shut down the Capitol altogether. How about that? All right, let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. I was looking at Twitter X, which is Twix, by the way. It's Twix. I'll just call it Twix. Not sure if it's the right Twix or the left Twix, but if it's going to be Twitter, it's going to be X. Then it's Twix, and I love me some Twix, by the way. I love me some Twix. But anyway, Allison Maloney from Newsmax posted this. This is Joe Biden reading his teleprompter. This is President Derpy Doo. All right, this is your president, Democrats. This is the guy who you're trying to convince is a perfectly of sound mind and body, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And that makes you a fool. Here you go. Listen to this.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years.
Four more years. He read. That's your candidate. You're a joke. Your party is a joke. Your president is a joke. You lie about everything. You try to convince people as they're suffering greater than they have suffered in 40 years with inflation that everything is fine. And you've got this jackweed as your president who you had to rig an election to put in office.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years.
Four more years. Four more years.
I think that's just beautiful. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If you're still voting for that, you're such a tool. I mean, really, it's just thank you. Hold on one second. Praying to the comedy gods. Thank you for giving us this rigged election with Joe Biden and lying about him getting 81 million votes because, you know, the federal government was involved. Thank you for the comic gold that you have provided. Unfortunately, you've caused a lot of suffering, by the way, because this idiot is in the White House, and the American people didn't have a choice. Democrats didn't have a choice. But I, honestly, the stuff writes itself. It really does. It writes itself. Let's go to Alice in Catonsville. Hello, Alice. How are you doing today? Welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Great, Rob. You're wonderful. That was unbelievable. It'd be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. Oh my
I know. Gosh. Pathetic.
But I have to say, yeah, you are so brilliant. You're doing a great job out there, great service for everything, and way to Thank keep you. The hope alive. I love it when you're like saying keep calm and carry on because, you know, my dad was a World War II soldier too, and, yep. you know, he also quoted Winston Churchill, you know, never give up, never Amen. Give up, you know. So Amen. Anyway, you know, he had me late in life too. So, but you will be so missed next week. You don't have to take off, you know.
Oh no, I do. Trust me, I need to take off.
Okay, well, just saying, yes, you'll be missed. Yes. So, anyway, but like 40 years ago, I was 20, and it was 1984, and yes. I was in college at the University of Maryland, and you know, I was thinking about the people that are having to deal with all this garbage that's going on in campuses these days. And I just remember the feeling on campus, the most euphoric, glorious feeling of happiness and like hope for the future and just pride in our great country that Ronald Wilson Reagan brought out of the doldrums of the Carter years, yes. really. And I feel so sorry for the students today that have to deal with all this horrific behavior that's going on campus. It's just a shame. And it doesn't have to be that way, you know? And
no.
Anyway, but I did want to, what made me, prompted me to call is because I think, you know what, you really are a good Catholic because you have Jesus in your heart. And I will say, though, that, you know, everybody, including you, really should find a church to go to. And it doesn't have to be Catholic. It could be like Baptist or Methodist or whatever. It could be the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And
yes.
I will say that I believe it's important to go to church because not only
I know.
Are you getting the good news preached to you and yes. you're, you know, soaking in your soul every Sunday, but there are thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men and women who have suffered, bled, and died for our right to go to church. And we need to exercise that every Sunday. You know, how many places on this planet have people been physically, like, stopped or barred from going to church?
And you're right.
And
you're
we
right.
have that right and privilege to be able to walk into a building every Sunday without fear of being harassed or arrested or harmed in any way and to be able to worship our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm just
I know. And you know what? I haven't had that kind of church guilt since my mother was alive. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from. I don't like the Pope that we have right now. I've not been able to find a church didn't seem like I was listening to a tenured professor right. going through the motions. Right. And I'm not going to attend a church where I have a Catholic church, a priest who's just kind of there. I don't have time for that nonsense anymore. If you're just going to go through the motions, hell, I could lead a mass if it's just about, you know, telling people when to stand up and sit down and kneel. But I need a little bit more than that.
Yeah, maybe you should try the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I'm not going to do Mormonism. Yeah. I'm not going to do Mormonism. Sorry, ain't going to happen.
Have lay people who go up and speak every Sunday. It's not a preacher.
I'm not going to do that. But I do appreciate the phone call. Listen,
you take care.
You bet. I've been through every religion. I have been to Greek Orthodox. I went to Baptist. I've gone to Church of Christ. I've gone through been born again. I've been to baptisms. I've been through all of it. I've seen it all. My faith is deep and resounding, and it is based in faith, science, and philosophy. I know it sounds kind of impossible, but it really is. It really is. It's deeply rooted. I believe that we are in the midst of a battle of good and evil, and it's more biblical than I ever could imagine. And I'm not a Bible banger.
I'm not one of these, Jesus is coming, he's going to burn everybody, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. You're going to roast in hell. But I'm telling you, there's something happening. There is something happening, man. And I want to be on the good side. I am going to be on the good side because evil has been able to run roughshod over our country for years now. And I believe that the good reaction to that is coming. I really, really do. You know, I think scientifically, if you would not believe what I read. I can't read a novel because I don't have the attention span of a fruit fly. I cannot sit down and read a novel. I make it a 3 pages into it, and I'm bored out of my mind. But I can read Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time, not understand it completely, or Carl Sagan, or Isaac Asimov, or a host of other individuals. Because listen, there's a reason why we're on this speck of dust, all right? There's a reason why I'm on this speck of dust. We are on a speck of dust in the middle of our existence is so beyond bleeped up, you have no idea. And if you just think about looking around where you are in the car over there, in the house over there, in the job over here, you realize what we are, where we are, how in the hell we are. We weren't given a choice in this life. You were just born into it, and God said, deal with it. And here we are in the strangest predicament a person could ever imagine, floating around on a speck of dust in an endless universe that we can't even fathom the size of it. That's what we're born into. That's where we are. What? You couldn't, science fiction couldn't be stranger than our existence. But I believe that there is a reason for it. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It exists. Quantum physics exists across the expanse of space, 15 billion light years. A reaction can happen simultaneously, 15 billion light years away, that's happening here. How does that happen? You explain it. You explain math if there's no God. You explain love if there's no God. You explain anything. And you tell me that God is stranger than what we live in. You tell me the concept of God is stranger than what we are experiencing. You tell me what a quasar is. You tell me what a neutrino is. You tell me why two atoms of hydrogen and one oxygen is always water. And then tell me there's no God. Woo! I don't know where that came from. I think I just had a come to Jesus moment. But I believe in good, and I believe that that equal and opposite reaction, that reaction is coming, and the reaction is good. The reaction is good, and the reaction is going to win, and we have to be committed to it. We have to recognize what is good and what is evil, and we have to be committed to defeating evil. Anti-Semitism on campus is evil. I don't care if it's your kid. I don't care if it's your kid's kid. Your kid is a buffoon and a brown shirt if he's supporting this. And they need a little talking to. And the universities that have allowed this to happen need to be shut the hell down. This cannot exist. And I don't think God's going to let it exist. So you better get on the right side of history. There you go. Whew. Wow. You know what I think we need? I think we need a palate cleanser. How about a palate cleanser? Yeah, I'll do something inspirational. You know, I know. I do a lot of funny stuff. But I came up with this the other day, and Jim Gossett put it together for us. So I'm gonna go play this, and I hope you enjoy.
Mine eyes have seen America descending into hell when they rigged a big election and a set you could not tell. They persecute Donald Trump and Biden is not well. We all have had enough.
Keep calm, carry on, people.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Demo. Democrats and rhinos fooled ya. Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've all been spat upon.
I kind of like this version.
Remember back in 23, we gave Kevin the axe. So he made Mike Johnson speaker, and he stabbed us in the backs. Now he's bedded down with despots. Credibility he lacks. Hey, Mike, time to move on.
We're gonna go in November.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Don't want Biden in there, do ya?
No way.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Joe Biden, he must be gone.
There you go. That is Jim Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, exclusively on the Rob Carson Show. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is not an EV, and it never will be. California is a cluster, is a Charlie Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Despite spending $24 billion to combat the crisis of homelessness over 5 years, its homeless population has surged. It is a complete waste of every dime. No results. $24 billion. Do you know how many companies that would lose $24 billion and people wouldn't be fired? This is utterly, utterly ridiculous. So what they're doing in California... The California Interagency Council on Homelessness, tasked with overseeing and evaluating the state's 9 agencies and 30 programs devoted to combating homelessness, they just stopped collecting and reporting data in 2021 because no significant amount of headway had been made. They weren't making any progress at all, so they just stopped collecting and reporting data on it. California State Auditor Grant Parks wrote in a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom and legislative leaders that accompanied the report, and they basically said that their statutory goals, including measuring program-specific outcomes and is otherwise not inspiring confidence, it will take steps to reach those goals. What data is available, the report said, is unreliable due to widespread errors, so they're not even keeping track of the money they're flushing down the damn toilet. People should go to jail for this. People should go to bloody jail for this. And then there's this. San Francisco opened its long-awaited $1.7 million public bathroom. It's a single toilet with a changing table in it. And here is the story from San Francisco Television.
Valley Town Square turned out to be a perfect spot to soak in the sun on this unusually warm day. But the city's price tag to build a 150-square-foot public restroom at the corner of the park is getting quite a few people a little heated.
That's crazy. It's just sort of an artifact of everything that's going crazy in the city. How can it possibly be 1.7?
If you voted for Democrat, it's your own damn fault.
$7 million.
There was actually supposed to be an announcement by state and local public officials here today proclaiming their success in securing the funding from the state. But they abruptly canceled it once word of the price tag.
I could live in 7 of my homes. The house that I live in, the purchase price, I could have bought 7 of my homes for the cost of a stinking public toilet in San Francisco.
Got out.
Several people were hoping to attend the press conference and ask about the cost because everybody is amazed.
It sounds so fishy. And given that they were going to announce it here today and they just bailed, it just...
Because they're embarrassed and ashamed, and they should be.
So suspicious.
People ought to bring rotten vegetables and hurl at them before they remove them from office.
The only elected official who has responded to any of our questions about the project and the price tag is Assemblymember Matt Haney. He was able to get the $1.7 million from Sacramento. But he didn't want to speak on camera. Instead, he sent this message. I'll defer questions about the cost for the bathroom to Rec and Park. The cost also seemed shockingly high to me. They told me they couldn't build it for less, so if I wanted a public bathroom there, that's how much I had to deliver.
Well, then you don't build a public bathroom there. This is how they treat you and me, man. I mean, you know, honestly, this is how they we're just an endless supply of money. we are just an endless supply of this and that, and then they pull crap like this. Here's a little bit more from the story that I call the $1.7 million San Fran can.
We reached out to Wreck and Park for a breakdown of costs.
They call it Wreck and Park. Stop it.
They have not responded.
One, two,
so
three.
We called some contractors to ask how much they would charge to build a 150-square-foot public restroom. This one, near the State Street Playground, is only slightly larger, about 200 square feet. No surprise, building costs in San Francisco have recently ballooned. Contractors we talked with say it's about $500 a square foot. That comes to $75,000 for a 150-square-foot structure as a starting point. Building a brand new one in Noe Valley will also take a couple years because it needs to be designed, permitted, and go through public review. All that adds to the cost. But could it possibly add some $1.6 million? A lot of people in the city would like to know.
Yeah, well, you know what? San Francisco Democrats, this is on you. You guys, honestly, buffoonery. Oh, and then there's this. California City okays $1 million per unit homeless housing project after an audit found the state had wasted billions in the crisis. So $24 billion did nothing to cure homelessness. Not one damn dime. And by the way, Pretty Boy, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, has been talking about this for years. 2008, he said he was going to end homelessness in San Francisco. It only got worse. This man is a complete tool with capped teeth and slicked back hair. But in California, you got a 122-unit building for homeless. It's going to include a mix of studio, one, two, and three-bedroom apartments, perfect for your crack supply, whatever. You can smoke out on the deck, along with the ground floor retail and residential commercial parking spaces. $123 million for this building, $1 million each for 122 apartments for homeless people. These people have got to understand that this is our damn money, and I got to tell you, it doesn't get stupider. It doesn't get more stupid than that, honestly. We are going to be tired of this. I know you're a little serious today, but gosh darn it, aren't you just tired of it? You just sick of it? I am. All right, let's take a break and come back, wrap this thing up. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. All right, keep calm, carry on, be a soldier for good. We have many tribulations to go through to get to enlightenment and many battles to do. In the meantime, God bless you, God bless and save America and Israel. And until tomorrow, whatever you do, don't catch the stupid. I'll see you then.